This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Geeks Out on Joy 94.9. You can hear the show live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Or you can check out our podcasts at joy.org.au/geeksout.
Welcome back to Geeks Out. We just reviewed Spiral, that's on Shudder, and now we're going to do a retro review of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is a 1975 American drama film directed by Milos Forman, based on the 1962 novel One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey. The film stars Jack Nicholson as Randall McMurphy, a new patient in a mental institution, and features supporting cast of Lewis Fletcher, Brad Dourif, Will Sampson, Sidney Lassick, William Redfield, Danny DeVito, and Christopher Lloyd in his film debut. It's a very classic film. Clayton, have you read the book to this?
I did in high school, and I haven't read it since, so it's more of a memory of reading it rather than being able to explicitly say I've read it.
I was reading a few things. So the movie has taken quite a few liberties and dispersed from the film, from the novel. And I must admit, I've watched quite a few plays, and again, there's a lot of different turns on this, and so we are covering the 1975 movie in this. The main reason for the 1975 movie is also because with Ratchet, which we'll review next, this is what they've based the Ratchet character off, is the film instead of the novel is a really key point that they make for that. So I'll go into a bit more detail on that later, but that's why we've chosen to do a retro on the movie. The movie actually won all 5 major Academy Awards, Clayton. Did you know that?
I did not, actually.
Yeah, so it won Best Picture, Best Picture, Actor in a Lead Role, Actress in a Lead Role, Director and Screenplay, which, you know, just shows the quality of it for how it reflected its time. And that was, so in 1993, the film was deemed culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant by the United States Library of Congress, and it was selected for preservation in the National Film Registry. So that's quite a big deal, I think, for a movie of this caliber. And it sort of sets the stage for a lot of movies following it on how they should run and structure themselves, which is quite nice to see. Now, to give you an idea, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is 1963. Ratchet, the TV show, was actually 1948 to 1950. So 13 years after Ratchet, the new TV show. What did you think, Clayton?
I've never actually watched the movie. This was actually my first time watching, which is quite ridiculous, I must say, wow. Given I read the book in the mid-90s. So I was really impressed with this as a film. I think that I've seen actors in this film who I've seen in so many other things, but performing in a way I've never seen them perform. The best example, I think, is Christopher Lloyd. He is just incredible. His acting is phenomenal in this. I don't think he was a very fun actor, like, because of course, Back to the Future, but I've never seen him pull off a performance like this. The same is true for Danny DeVito, who is so unrecognizable. Brad Dourif, who looked very handsome, but most of my experience with Brad Dourif is during the Child's Play movies. So he was just very handsome, and his acting was incredible.
It is true. I think, as you say, Danny DeVito, there's points in there you can't see the Danny DeVito we know today. You see, I couldn't stop seeing mental institute people. Like, it was quite phenomenal. I had to keep reminding myself that they're actors. The mannerisms they carry on throughout the movie is quite amazing. And I wonder, to be a fly on the wall, that kind of, were they like that on and off screen to keep that character? Because they held them so well, even when you're watching it, even in the background, when there's a scene happening somewhere else, it's quite amazingly done, which I think held me into that whole journey of the movie with each character being their true self.
Look, I completely agree that it's definitely a very unusual performance for these actors because it does go out of their normal acting comfort zone. It is, of course, a very stereotype for a portrayal of mental health, and I have not spent time in a mental institution, so I don't know if it's exactly like this. My guess is that it's not quite, but I think the main issue here is the way the patients were treated during this period in 1963. It was definitely an abomination. And that definitely comes through in the film.
And I definitely think, I mean, look, guys, if you haven't seen it, go see it again. I don't think any of our spoilers will spoil it for you because it's quite amazing. I looked at it also from the fact of Ratchet, because we'll talk about her next, but she's the first person to walk through in the scene, and it's described exactly like it is in a novel, because I was looking back on how the novel was written to see how it compared to the movie and things like that, and so one of the quotes is, in the novel it says, "She enters the ward with a gust of cold wind." And I just think that's just, it is Ratchet to the whole piece. In One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, she's this straight up, can't get a smile, can't get a, you know, no matter how much lovely Jack Nicholson's character tries to rile her or get something out of her, she does not change that boss nurse attitude.
She definitely has a massive amount of control over her emotions, which is quite impressive given Jack Nicholson's portrayal of his character. Which, commenting on, Jack Nicholson, to me, is a very overrated actor. And I think he gave very much a Jack Nicholson performance in this. He is actually probably the weakest performance-wise part of it because he is just playing himself, which he does in most films. I don't know if I'm hurting your feelings about Jack Nicholson here. But
not hurting. Look, I like Jack because I know what I'm going to get with Jack. You get Jack. That's all you get. You know, there isn't much else. Like, no matter what film you're watching, from As Good As It Gets to The Shining to it, you're going to get Jack. And sometimes in me, I like that because I'm not going to, like, you know when you want that comfort blanket?
Yeah.
Jack's performance is that comfort blanket. He's going to be annoying but lovable, arrogant but with reason, and, you know, bend the rules to meet him but be, you know, something will go wrong and he'll learn from it and that kind of thing. It's always the Jack Nicholson role.
What I really want to talk about, though, is Louise Fletcher's Nurse Ratched, who is... Louise Fletcher, I think, is an actress who deserved a whole lot more recognition in Hollywood than what she got. After this film, she should have been getting really big and amazing roles, and she kind of didn't, which is a bit sad, because I think she's incredible in this. However, the character itself, which I think is a writing issue, not an actress issue, never plays off as the villain that she's claimed to be by history. She uses some subtle aggressions on some of the characters, and a lot of her actions are easily justified as dealing with an unruly patient, because Jack is a patient you couldn't have in a ward because it would create too much disruption and could potentially harm the healing process of being in such an institution, although it wasn't that big a healing process back in the 60s. But so I think all of her actions are justified within that. Towards the end, she does start to give off some of those more manipulative sort of presentations and things. And, it, you know, that does result in the patient's death. It's not right to the end. And I felt like it needed more of that. Did you fall off the chair?
My power's about to go. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, okay, cool.
It's all right. I can comment on from that if you like.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, Louise Fletcher's Nurse Ratched in the movie is amazing. It's quite interesting. If you go back and look over the book, she's actually meant to be this sound, and this is not... I needed to do a bit more research on why it wasn't played like this, but she's actually a big-breasted woman in the novel because it plays on her sexuality. In the movie, there is nothing on her sexuality at all. She's this cold, hard boss, which I think is a really interesting diversion of the character. And that's why in our previous... When we go in and review Ratchet a bit more, we'll talk about that a bit more. But she is... I feel really sympathetic for her in the movie because, she's not a villain. She's doing her job.
And she definitely manipulates a bit, but nothing like in the book, I think, my memory of the book. And I was really disappointed that they didn't play on that, and they really need to emphasise that. I think they actually emphasised Jack's character way too much compared to Nurse Ratched's character, which to me is really the villain and the hero of the story at the same time. In terms of hero as in the hero of the dish, so the most important feature. So
yeah, definitely. I think I was actually thrilled. I was so excited because her character is such a strong character. And as you say, her relationship with Jack could have been, if they played her up a lot more and not Jack, they could have got a lot stronger. And when I heard Ratchet was coming, I was so excited because it is such a powerful woman in this whole aspect.
In Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Louise Fletcher plays Kai Winn, who is a Vedic, one of the religious order. She is the manipulative person that she should have been in this film. The character is actually really basically Nurse Ratched, but as a religious leader, not a nurse.
Some could say some nurses are religious leaders.
Well, that's another story. In that she actually ends up leading the entire religion of the planet. So through manipulation and murder and all sorts of things. So that's the character that should have been in this film.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds amazing. We'll have to talk a bit more about that. So what do you rate the retro review of finally watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
I'm going to give this one a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I have to stand there with you for holding its time and, again, kept me up there and interested. Definitely a strong 9 out of 10. It's worth going back and watching and seeing how that generation thought of things.
Yeah, and just a minor trigger warning, if you have mental illness in your life, you're probably going to not necessarily enjoy all the sort of performances of mental illness in this film.
And also the way they handle it. It's not pretty.
Absolutely.
Cool. And we'll be back after the break with a review of Ratchet, the spin-off of the prequel to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You're with Geeks Out.
This is Geeks Out on Joy 94.9. You can hear the show live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Or you can check out our podcasts at joy.org.au/geeksout.
Welcome back to Geeks Out. That was Clayton and I just reviewing a retro review of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in preparation for our review now of Ratchet. Ratchet is the American psycho thriller television series about the character of the same name from the Ken Kesley 1962 novel One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, created by Evan Rumensky and developed by Ryan Murphy. The series stars Sarah Paulson in the title role and serves as a prequel to the novel. As we mentioned earlier in the review of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is 1963 and Ratchet starts just after the end of the war in 1948 and continues. So Ratchet is now already known to be a 2-season series, and the first season premiered on Netflix on September the 18th. What was your initial thoughts, Clayton?
I was so worried when I saw the trailer that basically seeing Ryan Murphy try and deal with mental health issues was going to be a big issue. And it was a lot better than I anticipated. There is some not great dealing of dissociative identity disorder. That is the one thing that I think could have done a lot better. Probably played off for drama rather than being played off, but otherwise it's actually dealing with some really time appropriate things like lesbianism and things like that rather than dealing with mental health issues on a bigger sort of platform.
Very true. And I think also the character, the female characters in this, if nothing else, you've got to watch it for that. I think on Geeks Out we'll post, there's an amazing conversation that all the women from Ratchet have about the 1940s woman. Is that what they're reading from?
They're reading about how to hire a woman in the 1940s, which was when females being put into roles became more prominent because of the war. So this is sort of how to hire one appropriately.
And it's quite amazing. So you've got, you know, Cynthia Knox, Sarah Paulson, Sharon Stone, and
Judy Davis. Australia's Judy Davis.
Oh, how could I forget Judy Davis? She's amazing. And it's just, all of them are just such strong characters throughout the piece. And the backwards and forwards dialogue between them all and the intricate relationships that are formed. Oh, I loved it. I think it's you know, one of this year's best. I was really upset when I had to finish it.
It does feel a bit that way. Look, it is definitely a female powerhouse. I also want to throw out there, you've named all the people I wanted to name. Cynthia Nixon, Judy Davis, Sharon Stone, Sarah Paulson, but also Amanda Plummer, who we haven't seen her much for a while, but oh, God, I just love seeing her on screen again. She just plays such a endearing and unlikable character at the same time, which I think is probably true for a lot of Amanda Plummer's roles. especially if you think about quite a lot of her films, actually. What I really loved here was just that this is very much focused on the women of the story. It doesn't... there is men in the story. Charlie Carver's Huck and John Brion's Dr... Oh, I've forgotten his name.
I've just gone blank on that, true.
Yeah, the doctor dude.
He's the only doctor in it. It's fine.
Which really I could not work out. This is a very large hospital with a huge nursing staff and one doctor. At one point referenced the fact.
I think maybe it's a 1940s thing because it wasn't seen that mental health needed doctors.
That's possibly true, actually. But, yeah, it's still, I feel like there would have been more than one.
Yeah,
It's quite amusing. I think you wanted to talk about the colours in this movie.
I did. Thank you for that. So it is an amazing colour setup. The costume designer, Rebecca Guzzi, has done an amazing work on that. But it's a Ryan Murphy typical, you know, pushes certain colours, and he pushes, in this one, he pushes red and green being the key flashes throughout the season. So from the green is in the uniform, the cars, and also the overuse of plants in Lenore Osgood's house. You'll see that quite distinctively. And the quote is the green predominantly symbolic colour they use on various colours, characters for various meanings. And this is Rebecca Guzzi explaining to Fashionista. And it signals, the green signals such themes as violence, oppression, lust, envy, greed, and evil. And then on the opposite to that, you have the red, which is a lot more subtle, except when it flashes up in the lights. So it's subtle in the lipstick, in the bloodstains, and the loss of control, and the flowers, and it shows that a loss of control is about to happen. So I always noticed that any time Red was shooting up, it was the plot, or it changed to what you didn't expect it to. Some little twist happened. So
the plot
thickens. Did you notice that as much as I did, or was it just me and my colour thing?
No, I definitely, the colours stand out. They kind of... It's more of a sledgehammer approach to colouring. There's not a lot of subtlety in any of the colours, but the uniforms are just beautiful. The colour is amazing. It's a really almost aqua colour, which I absolutely loved. But I have to say, for me, the winner was her car. I really want her car. That was just so beautiful.
All the cars. I want to know where they... Like, I know that there's supposedly this place in the States where all these cars are housed for these kind of plays, but every single car was just immaculate.
Definitely. They were just beautiful, and the colour, but just the colour of hers was just amazing.
Yeah, Mildred's car. And that's it. Like, it was really funny. When she was... That was something I noticed as well. When Ratchet is out of the hospital, everyone calls her Mildred. And it's this very beautiful, personable person. And then when she, you know, of course she's Nurse Ratchet or Ratchet, which I thought was quite amazing to the characters.
Yeah, absolutely. I found Mildred to be really complicated, which I wasn't actually expecting, because I don't think she's terribly complicated in the original movie. She's much more complicated than this, and you actually feel for her. She actually has a lot of empathy around what she's doing, why she's doing it. Her motivations are actually not good, but reasonable. So a lot more reasonable than I expected. It's not just about her getting power, which is sort of the impression this character has developed over years of history of and memory, is that she's just power hungry, and that's not the case.
No, and it's interesting, the playoff between her and Nurse Bucket, and how they work together. And again, I don't think that's any spoilers. Some of it's in the previews and the ads, and I think everyone just has to get on and watch this, because the dynamics, it's nothing like... No. There is the strong nurse rhetoric that is shown in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest of Ratchet, but there is that very softer, trying to find herself, because I presume she's in her 20s in this, looking at the age difference. Because she looks like she's in her 40s, almost 50, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, look, we could probably put her at about 30, I'd say, and that would put her, I think, about right for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That would be my guess, but I'm not sure by any means. So
I just feel emotionally her character's still finding herself, and it's very young in that aspect.
That is very true. But, you know, the type of traumas that she... I won't spoil anything, but the trauma she's experienced in her life can often result in some emotional stunting, so that could definitely be part of it. I really like the character of Huck. I think he was perfectly played by Charlie Carver, and really gave a lot of depth to Mildred's character. It was actually the connections between the two of them where you actually got to understand she wasn't the villain that you think she's going to be.
It is quite beautiful, the glances and the camaraderie that they build up between them.
Absolutely. And even working together to save patients, which is not what you'd expect from Ratchet.
No, definitely. That was, yeah, quite surprising completely. But overall, for me, the queer themes quite surprised me. I wasn't ready for that at all.
Me neither. There's not really any queer themes in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest that I remembered. To have them so strongly in this film, and quite successfully, they felt very period appropriate, I think.
Actually, surprising you say that in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I think... So I was trying to research and I couldn't find anything, but two of the characters in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest are very close, and they're always leaning and lying on each other, and they're actually sleeping with each other. Not sleeping, but asleep with each other in quite a few of the scenes when they swap over. And I wondered if that was a theme that got cut out because of the era, and it not being, you know... I don't know, people are strange when they're doing movies, as we all know. But yeah, I must admit, not even in the ad does Ratchet sort of imply that it's going to be as strong a queer themes as we saw.
Definitely, and it's mostly around the lesbianism is the sort of strongest theme that occurs throughout, and very successfully too, like I said. Cynthia, and it's great that two queer women actually play the lead characters in this, Cynthia Nixon and Sarah Paulson, both sort of get to show their lesbian chops. That may be a slight spoiler, but whatever.
Oh, I think we see them kiss in the preview.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That's all right. It's all right. Everyone, they just gives you more reason to go out there and watch it, people.
Definitely.
So what are you rating this delectable
series? I think I'm going to give it 7.5. Like, I think there's some things that could have been improved, but overall I definitely loved watching it, and I could watch it on mute and just watch the colours.
That is, yeah, the vision, the imagery is amazing, and the coastal routes of where they're filming it in California is just astonishing. Again, beautiful, beautiful imagery. And I think I'm going to push it actually up to an 8.5. As I said, for me, it was probably one of my favourite
prequels?
Favorite TV series of the year.
Wow, that's it's been a weird and choppy year for series, so I think it's a really good claim.
And I must admit, the opening theme, like, you know how that's the sort of the trend with series is to have that really dramatic. It's one of the best as well. I actually sat through it many a time and didn't fast forward.
I did skip it most of the time, but I definitely enjoyed it. You did know down it was Danse Macabre, Op 40, I don't know what that means, I'm not really a music person, by Camille Saint-Saëns,
yes,
which was beautiful. Are you a music person to understand any of that?
So I know that it's something to do with the way it's minuted, if that's okay. Between the tunes, but I just enjoyed it. All right,
cool.
So that's us done for tonight.
It is indeed. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
Thank you, Clayton, and
thank you, Tamsin.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.